You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Tuesday. We are back and doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. We did not have a Monday episode. This is the intent is to have a two for Tuesday. We're going to keep this one relatively short, just due to meetings and all of those things that I've had, and we have a press conference tonight, and the intent is to do a second one this evening. I mean, it already is kind of evening. But apologies for not having a Monday episode. Just destroyed after having the latest game in Michigan Stadium history as the Wolverines went in and absolutely annihilated Hawaii. Maybe it wasn't quite as lopsided in the score as, you know, what the expectation was in Las Vegas or even my score prediction, which I had put in writing, I think, is 77-6, but still 56-10. Hawaii didn't cross midfield against the first team defense. Actually, no team has. None of the first two teams have. They only got their field goal and touchdown against the third or fourth team-ish defense. So great things on the defensive side of the ball. We obviously have to talk about J.J. McCarthy. And I did this on the drip, which I did yesterday morning right before going to the press conference with Jim Harbaugh. There were a lot of people that were very upset with me for various reasons, right? But because I'd been on the Procade train. And all I can say to someone like that is, yeah, guess what? I was wrong. It happens a lot. If you're in sports media, you are going to be wrong a lot. If you are coming up with opinions, it is the nature of things. And I know the average fan out there is going to sit there and say, well, yeah, but you were wrong here and here. It's, you know, I do a power rankings on Wolverines Wire every week. If I was right 100% of the time, then I would have my power rankings at the beginning of the season would be exactly what it is at the end of the season. You know, there would be no point in putting out a weekly power rankings. There'd be no point in the polls coming out on a weekly basis if everyone was right at the beginning of time. And my intel was still what it was, that Cade looked better in camp. But I even gave you that caveat throughout fall camp and everything like that. Like, they play games for a reason. We'll see. John O'Korn looked amazing in camp and didn't in games. It happens. Like, I was told that it was still Wilton's job, but John O'Korn was really pushing him in 2017, and that they looked pretty much even, and it looked better than what it looked like in 2016. And it didn't work out that way. That's sometimes how things go. So, but JJ, is, according to Jim Harbaugh, has turned things up a notch the last 2.5 weeks or so. And that happens. I mean, that's what you expect from a 5-star type guy. He's young, but he ain't that young anymore. Right? You think about CJ Stroud for Ohio State last year. Looked okay in game one against Minnesota. Looked pretty bad in the first half against Oregon, but then like learned in game and looked a lot better in the second half. They still lost the game. But that's just kind of how things end up working, right? Is players get better. I talked to my one source who had told me about fall camp literally as the clock hit zero. I'm out on the field before the press conference, and he was just like, I don't know what happened, man, but this is before Jim Harbaugh said JJ's the starter moving forward, but he's like, JJ's clearly the starter now. He's like, I don't know what happened, man. This has looked way different for Cade than it did in fall camp. That's how things go sometimes. And you know what? I'm going to be wrong a lot here and there. I have no problem telling you that. But if you want to come at me and act like you were wrong, like it's a fault of mine. I mean, college football is a fickle business. Just ask Texas A&M and Notre Dame, Nebraska, how they feel about things, right? So things change on a dime. Heck, even Texas mid-game. You know, I was wrong about Texas. Texas looked awesome for the first two drives, then Quinn Ewers gets hurt. They still look pretty good, but not nearly the same as they did with Hudson Card. So, but JJ, let's discuss him for a couple minutes before we get to the break here. But everything that you want, like, he has outperformed what I thought he would even look like at this stage. Every pass has been what I say is generally not possible. So there's another one for you that like loved to root for me to be wrong. Every pass was pinpoint precise. Every one. Downfield passes right on the money. Incredible. Absolutely perfect. The fact that he is essentially perfect. His stat line, I don't remember the yards here, but I mean, it's the fact that he's attempted 16 passes, completed 15. The only one he wasn't a completion was a drop by Ronnie Bell. You could actually look at that pass in two ways. You can look at it and say, well, that was a tiny bit behind him. And it was a tiny bit behind him, but it was completely on purpose, because if he would have thrown it right to where it was in front of him, it would have been a pick. So even the things that look like mistakes are purposeful. It is unbelievable what J.J. McCarthy has been able to do in just one, in two games. Big caveat here. He was going up against Colorado State and Hawaii. This week he'll go up against UConn. You need him to continue to look good, stay healthy, all those things. But, and even the next week against Maryland, Maryland's defense will be a step up from those teams. But it's going to be nothing compared to, listen, Iowa's a really bad team right now, but that's because of the offensive side of the ball. If you can go in and do what you're doing now against Iowa, and which I don't expect, I don't think you should expect that from anybody. I think that that is just, that's heaping up on expectations that are just unrealistic. Now, if he does it, that's awesome. But don't expect him to do that, because Iowa is going to be a different beast defensively. There's going to be a couple games here where he might not look like the world beater he looks like at this moment. That's just, unfortunately, how it's going to go as he starts facing tougher defenses. Now, the defense, on the other hand, it's looked great. Expect it to take a step back a little bit against Maryland, because Maryland has got some players now on offense. And again, if it looks incredible against Maryland, then you can feel pretty good about what it's going to look like in that final game of the regular season. Because Maryland's got some dudes. Rakeem Jarrett, Dante Demons, they've got more than that. Talia Tagovailoa, who led PFF's rating as the quarterback for 90% of the year last year. They've got some dudes now. So, I don't know. We'll see what things look like in week four for the defense and week five for the offense. That's going to be really exciting. All right, let's continue this discussion. Like I said, we got to keep this a little bit shorter than we might normally do, just because I've got a press conference to go to. I have an ad read I'm supposed to give you here. Here we go. It would not open. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you are depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? They've got a new flavor. Are you ready? Delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite. Cookie dough chunk puffs have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks. And of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. Run to Built.com to snag a box for you and the family. It'll be a perfect treat. Or you can find a really good hiding place and just hoard them for yourself. Like all Built Bars, the new Cookie Dough Chunk Puff is covered in 100% real chocolate. That means they're healthy and tasty. Chocolate-covered cookie dough with a light, fluffy texture. So good. What's great about Built is that all their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You're going to love the new Cookie Dough Chunk Puff. Whether you need a snack for your workout, a late-night treat, or just need to grab a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, fat, and sugar. Grab yourself a Built bar. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 15%, or say LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off of your next order. That's built.com, promo code LOCKEDON15. All right, just looking at these stats, incredible. 11 for 12, 229 yards, 3 touchdowns. Passer rating of 334.5. Michigan's highest PFF grade through 2 weeks ever. PFF hasn't been around that long, but still. But they say going back to like Henny type thing. Ronnie Bell really came on this week, which was good to see. Caught 6 of 7. Got a touchdown. Cornelius Johnson, 2 for 71. How about Roman Wilson, man? He's got 3 catches and 3 touchdowns. I mean, one of them isn't a touchdown. But he got one of them on the end around. But, I mean, this dude is just on fire. Right now, it just doesn't look like the starting lineup, now that JJ's in there, has any weaknesses. Except for maybe the offensive line, which has had some issues, of course. It was a little troubling seeing the 2 sacks of Cade McNamara. It was a little troubling seeing Zach Zinter being a guy who whiffed on a block. Trente Jones, I feel like, rebounded a bit from week 1 to week 2. So that's good news. Still a little bit concerned. They weren't mashing quite as much as they were for the bulk of Colorado State, where it felt like there was just, it was Trente Jones was kind of the one that really wasn't doing what he needed to do. Feels like he cleaned that up, but then you saw Zinter, and I can't remember who else because I was very tired of rewatch. Barely keeping my eyes open. How about Jake Budd on that call, by the way? I'm so proud of him. I thought he did a great job, but I was texting him saying, I'm rewatching it, and he's like, bro, I can barely keep my eyes open right now. I'm like, me too. That's where we're at on Sunday afternoon. Anyway, I thought the offensive line looked okay. I'm not concerned yet, of course. I still think that they'll be elite. I mean, yes, last week was the first time we've seen the starting five in at all at one time. Trevor Keegan went out for a couple series, and Gio Ahadi came in. But it feels like it is kind of getting, it's going to get to where it needs to be, I feel. Like, when I think about it, it usually takes a couple weeks. I don't think that's a surprise. 2018, when it finally, for the first time in the Jim Harbaugh era, we felt good about the offensive line. Took them until week 4 against Nebraska before it started to really kind of mash. Or as Sherrone Moore would say, smash. So we'll talk to Sherrone Moore on Wednesday, so we'll certainly get some more of insight from him as far as that's concerned. But other than that, like defensively, not a lot of sacks this time. So that is what it is, right? They only had 1 overall. 2 tackles for loss. Hawaii was getting rid of the ball really fast. That's going to be something you're going to have to expect. Again, I'm not that concerned with it. It's kind of what the deal was last year. It wasn't a lot of sacks at the beginning of the season, and they really started piling up. So you had 7 in week 1 and 1 in week 2. It's fine. They had 1 in week 1 last year. Teams are going to try to get rid of the ball fast with the kind of pressure that Michigan has, and it just seems like it's relentless. Now, we'll see what happens with Taylor Upshaw. He is injured. I know it hasn't been reported out there. I'm telling you that right now. He was in a walking boot after the game. Sounds like he's going to be all right. Donovan Edwards, saw him in the tunnel afterwards in street clothes. He was in very high spirits. I feel like he's going to be all right. Whether that means this week, I don't think that matters, right? I don't think that they feel like, all right, we need to make sure that we get Taylor Upshaw and Donovan Edwards into the game, because they more so need them in the ensuing weeks than against UConn, right? You should be able to plug in CJ Stokes or any number of pass rushers and be able to get the job done. But those two guys injured, both seem to be in very good spirits. From observation, perhaps conversation, I'm unwilling to tell you that, but it does feel like things are looking not that dire for either of them. Jim Harbaugh said on the radio show that he's hoping that Carson Barnhart and Nakaihill Green play this week, which I think is fair, given that Barnhart only played a couple series in week one. Nakai has yet to play, but dressed this last week. So Nakai was also in, I mean, he's been in good spirits. He was in good spirits in week one. If you want to know how I know that, go to my Instagram. I didn't post it this week because it was out of focus, but every week I post a picture of Nakaihill Green with the caption, "wasn't me," because he does this little shrugging thing. I've been doing it almost every week. I have always have a player in my pocket that we connect on the field. Used to be Ambry Thomas, but and then it was Josh Uche. You know, this Josh Uche I found. It's been Nakaihill Green the last year, but kind of feels like he'll be all right as well. All right, let's finish out discussing where Michigan goes from here. We're just going to spend like 5-6 minutes doing that. Not going to be anything crazy. We don't need to get nuts about it, but we'll do that here in just a moment. All right, so like I said, we're going to keep this short and sweet for episode one. Episode two will likely be more of a reaction to what we hear from the players. Maybe we'll include some audio clips. I don't know how that's going to work yet, but we'll try to get that one out around like 10, 11 o'clock at night. My evening, your night, because that's how I operate. But where does Michigan go for here? What do I think the ceiling is? Well, number one, you got to keep J.J. McCarthy healthy. To my knowledge, he hasn't had any issues with health. It's whereas there's some other guys where it's, I look at Donovan Edwards and it makes me a little concerned that a couple times now he hasn't exactly been good to go. That didn't really affect Michigan last year. It's going to affect Michigan this year, but CJ Stokes looks pretty good so far. So if they need him to come in and play that role, then cool. It's great that you get a guy like Isaiah Gash going. I'd like to see more Tavier Dunlap than what we've seen so far. But the thing is this is all going to look radically different, right? But this is, I don't know if you feel the same way as I do. I feel like this is kind of a weird season already in the sense that it's just like we're seeing so many new players all at once, and to have that be kind of like this new team where it's like you still have the core of last year's team, but it just feels so radically new. 2017 didn't feel so radically new, I think, because we had gotten a year's worth of knowing those players that all kind of played, and you didn't really get as deep into the benches, but what we've seen so far. I don't know if you feel that same way as I do, but it to some degrees, it's like this is radically new. But, you know, it's been good so far, obviously. Would like to see more from those third, fourth, fifth stringers that get out there against, you know, the starters of Colorado State and Hawaii. But, you know, they're getting their very first playing time. You can't fault them for it. Probably not going to see them much against the Iowas, the Penn States, the Michigan States of the world. But really liking what we've seen, particularly from those in the main rotation, the two deep. Like I said, the only concern that I have at the moment really is the offensive line. Running backs have been doing well regardless of that. Felt like they were even better doing what Mike Hart said, like, hey, go out there and break some tackles. Felt like we saw that a bit more this past week. I feel like we're not really seeing the offense in what its form is going to be yet. I feel like we're seeing a very vanilla version of what it will be. Think about what Michigan's offense looked like at the end of the year last year compared to what it ended up looking like. What it looks like now, or what it looked like even at the beginning of the year last year. Beginning of the year last year looked very vanilla. And they'll sit there and tell you, no, we're doing the offense. Yeah, it looked a lot different against Ohio State than it did against Washington, right? Washington was one where they needed to, you know, obviously pull out an early win, especially given the year before. Didn't really matter that Washington lost to Montana. You don't want to be losing to the team that lost to Montana. But I feel like what Michigan is presenting to you offensively, you're seeing some explosive plays. Obviously, Roman Wilson early in the game in week one. Roman Wilson early in the game in week two. You saw JJ out there slinging it. Seeing some good running plays from Blake Corum. A few more from Donovan Edwards. So they're getting some things done. I do want to bring up the rushing. 268 yards rushing. That's adjusted for the two sacks. It's an average of 8.1 yards per carry. Blake Corum averaging 9.8. Donovan Edwards averaging 8.7. He had three carries. Blake had nine for 88 yards. That's awesome. C.J. Stokes, 7.6 yards per carry. Kind of right in that sweet spot that Donovan Edwards was at this point in time last year. Got a lot more carries than Donovan did. So it's got eight carries, 61 yards. That's great for him because they're going to need him. Defensively, I'm curious to see, do they keep Amarion Walker playing corner? I mean, he played corner late in the game. I didn't know that until yesterday because being on the field, they don't say Amarion Walker is the guy out there wearing number one. They're just guy out there wearing a number one jersey without a name on the back. But I think the corners have done really good. The tackling has been superb. Mike Sanger still has been, as Jim Harbaugh said, he's playing that Daxton Hill role. He's kind of everywhere you want him to be. That's awesome. It's really cool. It's really good stuff. I still like the pass rush. They still impacted the game. Still like what I'm seeing from Braden McGregor. Still like what I'm seeing from Jalen Harrell. Still like what I'm seeing from Chris Jenkins and Mozzie Smith. Mike Morris played incredibly. Speaking of people with mea culpas, Anthony Treche came on the show last week. Said I might have been wrong about Mike Morris. See, it happens. It happens. This episode is going to be called Mea Culpa. It's where we're going with this. But anyway, the future of this team is bright, but we got to see what it looks like. Continue the same things you've been doing. I'm sure if you can do the same thing that you've done the last 2 weeks, empty out your bench in the second half. And then you got Maryland, big noon Saturday. Big noon kickoff on Fox. They're going to be hungry. Maryland has been waiting to knock off someone like Michigan. Don't be that statistic. And, you know, get through that. Go to Iowa. Suffer your first road test. We'll see what time that one kicks off. I think their loss probably doesn't help them to get the big noon Saturday situation. But we'll see. Everything is right as rain at the moment. But we've got, you know, again, this is, Michigan has not played great competition. Ohio State didn't play great competition last week and struggled for a half. So, could be worse. Right now, it's looking pretty good. All right, we'll be back later tonight with another episode. And then Wednesday, not really sure. We're just like between week two and three last year, we do not have Pro Football Focus this week. I'm sure we'll have them back next week. That's the goal. Mailbag Thursday. Preview, maybe not Friday. That's how we're going to do it. But thank you for watching and or listening. We'll be back with another episode later this evening. Peace.